think we've ever lived in a day in which we go the way we go. I'm telling you, we're on the go everywhere doing many things. We rush about with all the activities that are before us. We're weary because our minds are racing in all different directions. They're fully engaged in many things that are going on. We're tired because many work long hours. It seems like the day's never done and can't get to bed quite early enough. And we're weary because our calendars are filled. We have obligation. We have appointments and things that we need to meet. Our minds are tired from the worries and the cares of the life, and appreciate the song. Listen, we don't have to worry, and I hope by the end of the message today we'll see some things that'll help us. But our spirits are tired because we've trying to please God, and we're trying to do it in our own efforts rather than do it in the Spirit of God and the work of God. And then our bodies, they just, I tell you, I don't want to hear it, but like somebody said this morning at Whataburger, you knew I went there, right? And Whataburger this morning, I was expressing again. I guess I was whining. I don't know, but I said something about being tired. And they had to be smart and say, well, you know, they may have something to do with old age. And I said, well, yeah, you're probably right, but you didn't have to tell me that. But you know, our rest literally comes, and we have an invitation for rest found in our passage of Scripture today in Matthew chapter number 11, in verse number 28 through 30. I'll read the text, and then we'll go back and look at what he says. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, that ye shall find rest unto your souls. I want you to underline that, or at least underline it in your mind. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to be here. And Lord, today we live in a day in which I believe that we're probably busier than we've ever been. Not just me, but everybody seated before me today. I know many of them are tired from the week. They've worked hard and they've labored. And Lord, they just come many times frustrated. They become tired. And Lord, many times that's when the devil gets in and opens the door and puts his foot in and tries to trip us up and get us down. But Lord, today I pray now that you would bless us. I pray that you would guide and direct, give me wisdom, strength, and help as we bring the message today. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Somebody said, well, what is it we need to do? Well, how do we need to get rest? Well, the invitation's given in the passage of Scripture today. He said, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. And again, as I mentioned a while ago, he said, ye shall find rest for your soul. Now, again, I've been talking a little bit about physical tiredness, but that's not what the Scripture is talking about. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. But when you get spiritual rest, it helps even with the physical rest. And we find here that he's offering to us the rest for our souls, the spiritual rest that we need. And by the way, I believe today that we're failing in many areas because we're so busy, we don't have time to spend time in the Word of God, to read the Bible, to understand the truth that is set before us. Most people I know are weary in their souls. A fellow by the name of Henry David Thoreau said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. I was talking to Justin the other day, and he's been reading a book on Spurgeon, and he was, again, and I knew this, and just he was reminding me that back in the day when Spurgeon preached, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, but Spurgeon experienced a great deal of depression in his life. And we wonder sometimes about it and what it is, but many times we're troubled, we're agitated, and our soul is the one that takes the hit the most. But there is a place of rest this morning, and we find it in the Word of God and with God. You see, today rest does not come. Some look for rest in a mate. They think that's going to solve all the problems and everything they need. Some look for rest in a bottle. They go out and they think they can drown their sorrows with a bottle and do whatever needs to be done. Some tried to get the rest they need by a pill. And again, I'm not putting down anybody that needs to take something from time to time. But literally, friend, today the rest that we look for is in everything in the world. We look for it in pleasure. We look for it in entertainment. We look for it in a job. I was talking to somebody before church a while ago. We was talking about it. Listen, it seems like, jobs, there's problems and difficulties all the way through life. No matter where you are, no matter where you work, there's difficulties that arise. And yet people are trying to find, but no matter how hard you may try to find that rest, You're not going to find it in things. You're not going to find it in any of those things that I've mentioned to you. While we try to run here and there trying to find peace, all along Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Now, literally, you say, well, what about the physical rest? Listen, I believe spiritual rest will lead to physical rest if we understand the importance of it. Yes, this morning there is a place of rest. There's a place to rest in the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ, to rest upon Him, knowing that He will meet our need. Yes, there's a place of quietness that we can go to. Yes, there's a place for peace. But I want to remind you today, the place of rest and the place of quietness and the place of Jesus has a name, or place of quietness and the place of peace has a name. And that name is found in Jesus. He invites us to come to Him to find rest for your soul. We find today people are looking and running and seeking and struggling and striving. They're fighting, they're loving, they're rushing, they're searching all over in their effort to find what only Jesus Christ can give. Would you not agree with me today that America is probably in the mess that we're in because everybody thinks they have the answer to the problem? Those people today think socialism is the answer. Just take care of everybody and give them everything they need. Friend, that's not the answer, I don't believe. And I believe today the answer is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a place of rest for the weary soul. There's a place of rest in Jesus Christ. And these verses literally is not only a request or an invitation, but I believe it's a plain command where Jesus invites us to come and to receive spiritual rest. So this morning, you can see on the screen already, there is a place of rest. And I want you to look with me, if you would, today as we begin to explore these verses and see what God has to say. The first thing we notice is there's the call to salvation. Friend, I want to tell you today, if you're here and you're without Christ, there's nothing in the world that you can do to gain peace. There's nothing in the world for you to do to gain rest until you put your soul in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe upon Him. I believe today that the call is given. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe the essence of salvation is coming to Jesus. People today pray hard, and I've heard people often say, they say, listen, man, we're going through a hard time. Somebody's got cancer. Somebody was in a wreck, or somebody had this. And boy, I've really been praying for God to bless them and help them and meet their needs. And that's a wonderful thing. But friend, if you don't know the one that you're praying to, it makes all the difference in the world. And today, one must first come to Jesus Christ. I want to say again, and I say it often, and you may get tired of hearing, but that's okay. I'm going to keep saying it. We find that salvation is not found in the church. Salvation is not found in a creed. It's not attaching yourself to man or denomination. It's not bowing in an altar, or it's not just going through the baptistry water. It's not just adopting a new way of living. When you get saved and you get born again, the Bible said we are saved by the grace of God and we have eternal life. In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't understand a lot, and I'm not real smart, but I do know that according to the Word of God and what He said, there's no way that anybody's going to get to heaven except through the blood of Jesus Christ and being saved by His grace. You're not coming in the back door. You're not coming over the fence. Listen, the only way is to come through Jesus Christ. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I tell you today, we've got people, in fact, I run into people all the time, and I begin to try to share the gospel with them, and they say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm okay one day. I'm trying to work my way to salvation. Friend, if you're trying to work your way to salvation, forget it. You're never going to get there. It's in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Here people often say, they'll say, preacher, I'm trying to find the way. Isn't it amazing and how easy the way is? Even a child can understand it. You remember when Jesus told the disciples, he rebuked them because they were sending the children away. Don't bother Him. Listen, He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. And yet we find people today go through life and their life is a mess. And these things in the chapter there, he said they labor in a heavy laden. You see today a lot of people are struggling under a burden. If we went back and read the verse, I'm not going to do it today for sake of time, but if you went back and read verses 1 through 6, you'll find a very shocking thing. We find in this passage of Scripture, John the Baptist, if you will, John, the great forerunner of Jesus Christ, he's doubting whether Christ is the one that has come. And I'll just go there quickly in verse 4. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, who would have ever thought that would have happened with John? However, today, our life and our place is filled with doubt. I find people that at one time they've heard the Word of God, they know the truth of God, but somewhere along the line something happens and they begin to question God. I'm going to tell you, you're on dangerous ground when you begin to question God. You'll find yourself in a position you don't want to be in when you question God. So here in the beginning of the chapter, we find that they're under John struggling under this thought of doubt in his mind. Is that really him, or do we look for another? In verses 7 through 19, and again, for sake of not reading them, we find that others are laboring under the yoke of religious legalism. I'm grateful today to say that I have been set free by the grace of God, and I'm thankful today for the privilege that he's given me to serve him, and I'm no longer under legalism or any other religious. People have all kind of religious traditions they run through and go through. Friend, today there's no tradition, there's no religion that we need to go through. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone. And then we come to verses 20 through 24 of the chapter. We find that there were some that were failing under the bondage of sin. So here we find today, there's some struggling under the burden of doubt, some struggling under the burden of religious legalism, and then some falling under the bondage of sin. And today, I'm telling you, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than it want to pay. So here we find Jesus wants to put all those things to rest. He said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Those of you who labor and are heavy laden, you may labor, but you become heavy laden. You see, the doubts will be put to rest. He said in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now that verse, and that verse alone, tells me when I come to Jesus and put my faith and trust in him, I am saved from the bondage of sin, and I can know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I tell you today, people say, I don't believe you can know it. Well, friend, I tell you, we'd be in a sure big predicament if we couldn't know it. But I'm glad today that he said in this verse, and by the way, there's plenty others that prove it, but this verse right here says, these things have been written that you might know that you have eternal life. You see, you can be free from religious legalism and human self-righteousness. The Jewish people were being opposed by the legalism of the scribes and the Pharisees. They wanted everything done in their way. But could I remind you today, none of their efforts would ever, ever be sufficient enough to get them to heaven. The Bible said in Isaiah 64, verse 6, all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. He said, I will give you rest. The word rest refers to quietness, to calmness, to peace, and refreshment. And I'm going to tell you something, all those things come from Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. We're given peace with God. The Bible said in Romans 5, 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're given rest from our attempts to please God through our own efforts. Ephesians 1, 6, therefore being justified by faith. Being justified by faith, not by works, but being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're given peace concerning salvation. In Romans 8, 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And by the way, I believe if you're saved, you'll know you're saved. The Spirit of God will convict you and show you that you're saved. We're given quietness about the future in John 10, 28 and 29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I tell you, sometimes I may be hanging on to something and I may go to slipping and I may slip away. But I tell you, I want you to know that I'm in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He tells me that there's no way I can slip. There's no way that I can cut loose. There's no way that I can be separated from Him that loved me and gave Himself for me. And then we're given refreshment for the journey in Isaiah 40 verse 1. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, that verse right there tells us that if we wait on the Lord, we'll run and not be weary, and we'll walk and not faint. I'm just simply saying this morning, if you want rest, the first thing you got to do is come to Jesus for salvation. Friend, today, if you walk out of here and you don't know that you know that you know that you know, and I could keep on about that. But I'm going to tell you, even as I preached last week, I believe today that there's many people that are falsely believing somehow or another they can get to heaven because they've been pretty good. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible said there's none good. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Quickly, I want to move on. But it's not just a call to salvation. We find, second of all, it's a command to surrender. Look in verse number 29. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Now, some people say, "Well, preacher, all we got to do is just get saved, right? We're saved, we're going to heaven. You said, the Bible said that we're saved and we're going to heaven." That's right. But I'm going to tell you, if you're really saved and you're really born again, you want to learn of Him. And so what He does, He commands us here to surrender to Him. And I want you to know, salvation always precedes surrender. There's some of you that are sitting here that surrendered before you got saved. And then you had to come back and realize you never got saved and got saved. Thank the Lord for that. And then you were, and that's wonderful. You had good intentions, and all along you wanted to serve the Lord. You wanted to be faithful to Him. And there's no doubt that I believe everybody in their mind that that's exactly what we want to do. But friend, it must be preceded by salvation if we're going to surrender to Christ. One can't live like a married person until they're married. And after you're married, you're expected to live like you're married. After you're saved, you're expected to live like a saved person. When you come to Jesus, you're empowered to live such a life. And did you hear me? I said you are empowered to live such a life. Don't come to me and say, "Preacher, I can't." And, well, first of all, don't come and say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved on my way to heaven. But I can't. I just can't live that life." Well, obviously you don't believe God, because He empowers us through the Holy Spirit of God to live it. Now, again, please understand, nobody in here is perfect, and none of us are going to live perfect lives. But thank God, if we try, and if we intend, and if we desire, God will give us what we need along the way. Take my yoke upon you. Now, I want you to think with me a moment. I'm not a farm guy, so some of you guys may know a little bit more than I do, probably know a lot more than I do. But a yoke years ago, and I don't even know how they do it now, but yokes years ago was made of wood. And they would put it on the oxen. It was hand-hewn to fit the neck and the shoulders of the particular animal. In other words, it wasn't just they just went out and did one. I guess they measured and got it exactly right. So they could wear it in order to prevent chafing. You know, if you put an ox out there with a yoke on and that thing's rubbing blisters or rubbing the hide off, you probably are not going to get a whole lot of work out of him. He's probably going to rebel, and he may kick you into the next world or something. I don't know. But he wouldn't like that. And so the term was widely used in the ancient world as a metaphor for submission. When they got the yoke upon them, they fixed them where they would not harm them, but they did it in order that they might control the oxen. You see, the oxen would control them being by their self. But yet we see the yoke was part of the harness used to pull the cart, a plow, or a mill beam, and was by the means by which the animal's master kept him under control and guided it in a useful work. He put two oxen together. He kept them together. He kept them down the row. He kept them in the place they need to be. So a student was often spoken of as being under the yoke of a teacher. And an ancient Jewish writing contains that advice. It said, put your neck under the yoke and let your soul receive instruction. So when he comes to us, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus expects us first to be saved. Then he expects us to be fully and totally surrendered to him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Get in a position to where I can control you. Now, we know how he controls us is through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. But yet he controls us because he lives inside our heart. Jesus has this right to demand that of us. For he said in Romans 14, 7 through 9, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And by the way, that's 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Now, Romans 14, 7 and 9. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For in this Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does he have the reins in your life? Is he controlling you? Could you say, preacher, I tell you what, he's got a hold of the reins on me, and everywhere I go pleases him because he is in control. I tell you, he's not calling for us to walk alone. He's calling for us to walk with him, to walk with him and to talk with him. He knows we can't live on our own. And by the way, anybody that thinks they can live on their own, they've missed the mark. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I think I messed that up a little bit. Which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're not walking the road alone. True rest, true peace, true quietness in the Christian life comes being fully surrendered to his control. I don't have time this morning, and I must move, but you've all heard the story of two footprints in the sand, and I could tell you the story, you know, but it's about, somebody said, Lord, why was there just one set? And he said, because when there was one set, it was at the times that I carried you. And friend, I'm telling you today, he carries us everywhere we need to go and meets our needs. So there's the call to salvation. There's the command to surrender. And then in the last part of the verses, there's the challenge to serve. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus says, literally, look at me. I'm the example that you need to follow. I'll confess to you this morning, I'm a poor example of a Christian, and I don't say that. I hope I'm not terribly bad, but a friend, I guess what I'm trying to say is don't look at me as an example. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ as the example, because he never failed in anything. He's the most humble person that ever walked on the face of the earth. He's the most lovable person that you could ever find and ever encounter along the way. You see, he was gentle. You remember what he said in Mark 10:45? He said, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to you, but to give his life a ransom for many. You know what a blessing it is today to think about that. He came not to be ministered. You know, most everybody, what can you do for me? I don't need you till I need you. And then when I need you, I want you to do for me. Jesus said, I didn't come for you to do that for me. I came to do that for you. And boy, today, what a heart it would be if we were all that way. While we're not saved by works, we're clearly saved to work. For the Bible said in Ephesians 2:10, for we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The word learn is the same word translated disciple. Jesus is looking for people who will lay everything on the line as he did and serve him with no reservations. He said in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus said in verse number 28, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Or actually in verse 29, it said, you shall find rest for your souls. There's a rest which gives us peace because God is the peace of our soul. There's rest that comes from serving. Somebody said, "Preacher, I can't keep going like I'm going. I can't keep serving like I'm serving." Friend, I'm going to tell you something. It gets sometimes you can get weary in serving. But I believe God, if you're doing what He commands you to do, will give you the strength and the ability to do it. We get to the point in life sometimes we say, "Well, we've done all we need to do. Now it's time for us to enjoy ourselves." But God says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's a joy and a fulfillment and happiness that can be found nowhere else in life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know why it's easy? Because it fits well. If you really get saved, it fits as it should. Put your shoulder in the yoke that He's chosen for us. Allow the burdens to come your way, and you'll find peace and joy and satisfaction and fulfillment. You'll soon learn every difficulty in life is turned by the grace of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." In Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I close with this, and I want to challenge you. This is a great illustration. It's not my illustration. It's a true story. But there's a gospel song that I love. It was written by a young man by the name of Tommy Dorsey. The title of the song is "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." Kind of goes like this: "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears, and the night draws near, and the days is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home." Now I want to tell you, that song was written on this was the day he was born. On July the 1st, 1899, a little baby boy of color, was born in Villa Rica, Georgia, a small town about 40 miles west of Atlanta. He was one of seven brothers and sisters, and he was around church just about all of his entire life. His dad was a devout preacher, Baptist preacher. His mother was an organist, and she started him at the piano when he was 7 years old. In his late teens, he got so good in music that he decided to embark on a career of a blues musician. He was billed as Georgia Tom, Tommy Dorsey, Georgia Tom. This took him through the nightclubs of Atlanta to the jazz houses on the south side of Chicago. Because of his heritage, because of what he was taught, because of a godly mom and dad, he soon got tired of living the life that he had gravitated to. So he began to gravitate back toward the Christian music that he was raised upon. At age 21, he joined the Pilgrim Baptist Church in Chicago, where he directed the choir and he wrote over 300 songs. In a taped interview in 1977, Thomas Dorsey told this writer the following story, which had happened some 45 years earlier. My wife, Nettie, was expecting to bear our first child. I was called to St. Louis to sing in a revival. I wondered if I should go because of her condition, but she persuaded me to go ahead. He said that I, alone in my Model A Ford, drove all the way to St. Louis. He said during the night of the first meeting, the song service was going on. He said a young lad brought a telegram to me. I was still on the platform, and I read the horrible news. It said, "Your wife has died." Dorsey's wife had died giving birth to their son. I rushed to the phone while the people were still singing and found the message was true. A man by the name of Gus Evans drove me back to Chicago that night. And when I arrived, I found that wonderful baby boy that she had given birth to seemingly fine. And yet that night, my little boy died. I buried my wife and my little boy together in the casket. I became very despondent. I became so filled with grief. But he said a few days later, I visited a good friend of mine, Professor Fry. He said, we walked the campus of Annie Malone's poor old college for a while, and then we went into the music room. He said, I sat down at the piano and began to improvise on the keyboard, and suddenly I found myself singing a particular melody and saying these words that I'd never played before or never said before. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord, blessed Lord. My friend walked over and put his hand on my shoulder. He says, Tom, why don't you change that to precious Lord? And he said that when he did, he began to sing, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. And he said, when I finished the song, I began to use it everywhere I went, and it's been going ever since. He said, I've gotten letters from people all over the world. He said, but that great tragedy has got a message to the world. The song has been translated in 30 languages. And in the midst of tragedy, Tommy Dorsey found rest in the yoke of Jesus. He submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he found peace in the midst of his brokenness. Friend, I tell you today, I don't preach this message lightly, because I know there's some of you today sitting here hurting. You're weary and you're tired from the struggles of life. You're weary from the storms that you've been called to face. You're worn out from trying to serve God in your own power. And maybe that's why we're so tired. Maybe we're doing it in our own power. Are we tired of trying to earn your salvation through our own self-righteousness? Are you tired of trying to keep the rules religious people have placed on your shoulders? Are you weary from the burden of sin you carry? I tell you today, there's rest in Jesus for those who will come to Him. And I simply say to you this morning, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful song that Tommy Dorsey wrote in 1899. Lord, thank you one day for taking my hand and leading me on. Lord, I pray today that you would use what we presented today to encourage and to help one another. And Father, I pray that you would just bless this message. I pray that you bless this invitation. Just use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.